And so, Father, we thank you for this opportunity that we have this morning again to look upon your word. As we contemplate your words, Father, we ask that you grant us wisdom to align with the protocols of the Spirit, that grants us the access to hold and to make contact with your holy oracles, that we will be illuminated, that we will be empowered, that we will be strengthened with might by your Spirit in our inner man. Take all the glory, Father, in Jesus' name, in the precious name of Jesus. You may be seated. God bless you. I'll do Bible study for 1 hour, and then we'll go and rest for the evening session. This evening meeting will be a power meeting, and it will be a miracle service. So you can bring the sick. God will touch the sick in the name of Jesus Christ. We are looking and considering a topic, walking in the Spirit. In the name of Jesus. The word is a realm that is clothed with darkness. The Bible said our dwelling place is covered with the habitation of cruelty. We are living under an ambience and an umbrella of darkness. And the only way we can survive and make contact with our place of natural habitation is when we sustain the ability to walk in the Spirit. It is impossible to walk under this realm and to be aligned with God unless we are vitally connected to His Spirit. The civilization of this realm was born from the womb of darkness. The God of this world is the devil himself. Paul said, if our gospel be hid, in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 from verse 3, he said, it is hid to them that are lost, who are enslaved, who are bound by the God of this world. We are in a world that is ruled by darkness. Apart from the direct influence of the spirit of the age, even the system, the constitutions, the constellations are also designed to perpetually enslave you in sin. The reason you wake up in the morning and sleep at night is not because man is supposed to wake up in the morning and sleep at night. The reason is because this realm is governed by the constellations. And when God created Adam, he gave Adam authority to rule over the constellations. But when Adam fell, even the powers of the heavenlies were lost. So the prince of this world have mastered the act of manipulating the constellations in order to enslave humanity and to keep them under his government. In Songs of Solomon chapter 1 verse 6, he said, do not look upon me because I am black. He said, the sun have looked upon me. So, because you are wrong by the constellation, it is possible for your heart to come under darkness. If you travel from the UK to this place, the first 3 days you will struggle to sleep at night. The reason is because your body is trying to recalibrate itself. Some of my friends came from Tulsa last month and we were in the mission field for like 1 month. And when they went back to the US, it became difficult for them to sleep by 8 p.m. You know what has happened? Their body came under a new government. So the time system changed and then it altered their biochemical processes. 8 p.m. here is not 8 p.m. there. But the constellation has a way of submerging you into the influence of darkness. So in Psalm 121 verse 6, he said, the sun shall not smite you by day, neither the moon by night. The reason is because the cherubims are creatures of eyes. And what they do is that anything they look upon, they traffic their nature through that thing. So when the devil took over the powers of the constellation, he travels its influence through the sun to regulate you. That's why when they came to arrest Jesus, he said, the night is your hour. By the powers of the moon, the devil can regulate activities at night, and evil can naturally take place. Have you seen the harlot stand by your shop right in the daytime? It's in the night they are comfortable to stand naked because of the powers of the moon. Evil can be trafficked through the night time. So apart from the direct influence of the devil can manipulate the forces of the constellation to put you in slavery. If you wake up in the morning and sleep at night constantly, you can live in sin. The reason is because you are under the government of the sun and the moon. That's why when a man becomes a spiritual man, naturally his sleeping time is altered. God deliberately thwarts it. The reason is because God is bringing him out of the powers of the constellation. We don't sleep at night. We are birds in the night. We fly. Even when we are not praying, we can't sleep until it exceeds 1 a.m. in the morning. And we don't wake up when you wake up. It's a natural thing with every spiritual man. What is happening is that you are coming out of the influence of the constellation, so the sun cannot look upon you. For we, he said, he that dwells under the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadows of the Almighty. We don't abide under the sun. We abide under the shadow of the Almighty. The influence of this world is a technology that was created from the womb of Hades. And the design is to enslave humankind for eternity. There are some that are bound by the devil. There are some that are manipulated by the constellation. You don't know the powers of the constellation. Everything sorcery is about is the ability to wield the energy in the moon and in the sun. What advanced sorcerers do is that they can pull the moon close to themselves and they enchant it. And when you wake up, your land will be cursed because a sorcerer entered your territory. He doesn't need to fight anybody. He will do business with the moon, and the moon will enslave your territory. So the devil either enslaves you directly, or he enslaves you through the powers of the constellation, or he goes through the power of the flesh. He said, love not the world. He said, they that love the world, the love of the Father is not in them. He said, what is in the world? The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life. So it's either the devil attacks you directly, or he uses the constellation, or he comes through you. The way the devil comes through you is that he manipulates your flesh. And so long as flesh is alive in you, you can be a slave. Because your lust can enslave you to the devil. If you are a being that you are moved by what you see, you are moved by what you hear, it means you can be manipulated. But for the spiritual man, the Bible said he will be baptized with the fear of the Lord, and God will make him of a quick understanding. Hebrews chapter 11 verse 3. And he shall not judge after the sight of his eyes, nor the hearing of his ears. That's a man that has been separated from the influence of darkness so he can walk in the spirit. Every time we want to teach men how to walk in the spirit, we bring them into an economy that separates them from the direct influence of the devil or from the influence of the powers of the constellation, the civilization, and the city where they dwell, or from the powers of flesh. If you have not been detached from these powers, it will be impossible for you to walk in the spirit, even when you speak in tongues. Elohim Adonai. Elohim Adonai. Most of what we call spirituality is religion. And when I say religion, I'm referring to even the dancing and running in the auditorium. I'm referring to even what you call angelic dance. Sometimes it's your emotion that is being wiggled. If a discerning man enters, you can be doing your angelic dance and go and cast out a demon. I'm not saying the angelic dance is wrong. It's of God. But I'm telling you that most of the activities we do is religious or is manipulated by another spirit. Even the chant. You can walk to a place and somebody is chanting and then what you are sensing is demonic energy. If you are a discerning man, you will stop him. Because everything God begins to do, quickly, the devil will go back to the theater of Hades and create a perversion. And because men have not come out of the influence of the devil, or the influence of the territory, or the influence of flesh, they become agents through which those perverted acts of the devil are brought into the kingdom of God. And we don't have discerning men that can trap commodities that come from Hades and bind them. The reason is because we are either the influence of the spirit of this age, or we are either under the government of the constellation or the spiritual city where we dwell, or we are still under the influence of lust. So we can't walk in the spirit. My friend began to teach us that the first criteria for walking in the spirit is death to flesh. Most of you don't understand the weight of that subject. You know why? Most times when we come to church now, it's about prophecy. It's a show. So you come to church 52 weeks in a month, and all you receive are prophecies of breakthrough, of open door. You will not grow. You will be a babe until you are 72 years. Then you will discover that your Christian walk was in a cycle. You were walking around yourself. You will know that you don't know God. The elders of old, the patriarchs, they began to walk with God when they were children. And when they come to their old age, what they do is that they are custodians of divine and eternal heritages. So when they want to depart from this world, they call their children, they say, "Gather around me." You know what they want to do? They know God. They have handled God. So they want to commit God to their children. And when they are done, you will hear that they gathered themselves onto the bed and they rested with their fathers. For them, life is not a function of chance. Life is a product of the encounters they had with God and the dimensions of God they were able to trap. So when they want to leave this world, they hand it over to their children. He said, David, after he served the will of God, he rested with his fathers. Jacob said, "Gather around me, O ye sons of Jacob. Sit round me, children of Israel. I will tell you the things that will befall you." When he was blessing the sons of Joseph, he said, "The angel of God that appeared to me." That was when he caught God. And he knew when he caught God. And he carried God and walked with him all his life. When he wanted to leave, he put his right hand on Ephraim and his left hand on Manasseh. That's a blind man. But you know, he doesn't see with the eyes. He sees with the illumination of his spirit. And when Joseph came to correct him, he said, "No, this is the older one." He said, "No, I know. But the younger will be greater than the older." That's a patriarch. He's a custodian of God. And before he leaves this realm, he must remove the God that he has caught and he will hand it to his children. He said, "The scepter will not depart from Judah until Shiloh comes." And when Jesus came, Jesus became the lion of the tribe of Judah. That means Jacob was the one that determined the bloodline of Jesus. Elohim Adonai. We don't know what it means to walk in the spirit. They sold religion. They sold us religion. You know, Moses was bought in Egypt. He wanted to deliver Israel until he saw that the powers of flesh can't achieve it. What is happening in Egypt is a manifestation of a god. The civilization of Egypt is not a function of human technocracy. Because in Exodus chapter 12 verse 12, when God came, he said, I will judge the gods of Egypt. So a man of flesh wanted to fight a god. He didn't know that because he was in a palace, even the sun in Egypt was a government over him. He didn't know that the Leviathan in the belly of the sea was a god over him. All the education he received in Egypt, the syllabus of education, they came from the belly of the Leviathan. So long as he was in Egypt, he was under that god. So when he was trying to fight the Egyptian, he didn't know he was fighting the Leviathan. When he saw the fury of Pharaoh, he ran away. And for 40 years, God kept him in the wilderness, teaching him the way of the Spirit, until Moses became a god. In Exodus 7 verse 1, he said, I have made you a god unto Pharaoh. He was taught. You know, Moses did not grow with the Israelites, so he didn't know the ways of God. He came with Egyptian intelligence to deliver Israel. God led him to the wilderness and he met a Midianite priest. His name is Jethro. But Jethro's name is actually Reuel. And Reuel means the friend of God. Because Jethro, being a Midianite, is one of the sons of Keturah. And the Bible said, Abraham, I know Abraham, my servant. He will teach my sons and his household my ways. So Abraham taught the ways of God to all the men that were in his house. So the Reuel that Moses met was the one that told Moses, you can't do the will of God until you encounter God. That was why Moses began to go to Horeb once and again. It's not a strange sight to see a bush burning in the wilderness, because it's a dry place. Once and again there are sparks and then bush burns. But when a man notices that a bush is burning and is not consumed, it means he has developed the eyes for the supernatural. You know, you can be in a meeting, an angel comes, you don't know. You know why? You have not developed the eyes of the supernatural. But when you stay with God for a long time, that eye is quickening. So you can see a bush burning and it's not consumed. So Moses had grown in the spirit. He had pulled the ways of the Egyptians. Now he's walking with God. He had come out of the influence of Leviathan. He had come out of the influence of Egypt. He had come out of the influence of flesh. He can now walk in the spirit. There are five things you die to as a believer. The first thing you die to is judgment. Because if you don't die to judgment, it is God himself that will kill you. It's a law in the spirit. He said the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. So when Jesus was on the cross, the judgment of God was put on Jesus. So while Jesus was dying, something else was happening. And he said in 2 Corinthians 5:18, he said God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses against them, but he has given unto them the word of reconciliation. Why? Because he made him that was without sin to become sin for us. So the judgment of God, the vengeance of God, was put on Jesus. And when that happened, you died to judgment. So in Christ, you died to judgment, and God won't judge you anymore. That's why in Romans chapter 8 verse 1, he said, there's therefore now no condemnation for them that are in. Because the condemnation is already in Christ, on Christ. The second thing you die to is sin. 1 John chapter 3 verse 8, for this cause was the Son of Man made manifest, that he might destroy the works of the devil. What is the works of the devil? The devil cometh not but for to kill, to steal, and to destroy. And the sting of death is sin. So when Jesus took upon himself your sin, you were free from sin. That's when you became the righteousness of God. 2 Corinthians 5:21. He made him that was without sin to become sin for us, so that we may become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. The third thing you died to was the world. These things have I said unto you, John chapter 16 verse 33, that you may have peace. For in the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. 1 John chapter 5 verse 4, whatever is born of God overcometh the world. So in Christ, you are dead to the world. And the fourth thing you die to in Christ is the devil. This is why we cast out devils. You now have authority over the devil. He said in Colossians chapter 2 verse 14, that when he descended to Hades, he spoiled principalities and powers. He made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them in victory. In Ephesians 1 from verse 19, he said we are seated with Christ Jesus in heavenly places, far above principalities and powers. So you die to sin, you die to judgment, you die to the world, you die to the devil. But the fifth thing you must die to, that one Christ didn't pay for it. You will do that one when you are alive. That's circumcision. It's called flesh. In Galatians 5:17, he said, the spirit lusteth after the flesh, and the flesh after the spirit. He said, these two are contrary one to another. So the work of the spirit is a work of subduing flesh. That's why my brother said, the first thing you do to walk in the spirit is you must die. Death to flesh is the work of the spirit. A man who has not died to flesh is a religious man. Everything you are doing may look spiritual. You are a religious man. And you know the consequence? The devil can take you back to the things you have been delivered from. So even though you have died to sin, the devil can use flesh to take you back to sin. That's why you see believers sinning. Even though you are dead to the prince of this world, the devil can use flesh to take you back. Because whoever you yield yourself servant to obey, the servant of him whom you have become, whom you have obeyed. This morning, I want to show you how to die to flesh. That's the bulk of my Bible study this morning. And it's not something you receive by impartation. It's a walk. We are commanded to walk in the Spirit. That means it's something you do and you will migrate from glory to glory. It's something you do and you migrate from faith to faith. Else, you may be regulated by the powers of this land. And you will be quoting scriptures, but you will be a slave. I passed through Onitsha some days ago. Everybody was running. The guy with the load on the head is running. The one in the bus is running. Even the people in the car, it's as if they want to run inside the car. When I looked at the city, I now saw the God of commerce, because all of them were pursuing money. That means that realm, that region is ruled by the lust for money. See, even a boy of 10 years, that thing operating. So when he stands in the public, he stands like this. You think he's coordinating himself? No. His pride is the pride of life at work. And he said, they that love the world, the love of the Father is not in them. It's not that it will not be in them, it's not in them. You can be on the pulpit, then you are walking like this. You know, the last time I gave a seed of 2 million, and see, what is ruling you here is not the Holy Ghost. You are on the pulpit, but you are standing on the throne of Hades. This is why you can't challenge territorial spirits. Have you not noticed that there is no patriarch from the east? Have you not noticed? Have you not noticed? It's a force. Meanwhile, the east is supposed to be the ground for the purest operation of the spirit. The west is corrupt by Islam. The north have been enslaved for many years by Islam and violence. It is only the eastern part of this country that is free from every other religion apart from idol worship. So when you repented and came the way of God, you were supposed to be a pure breed. And another beautiful thing about the East is that you are entrepreneurs. That means you don't depend on anybody to define your value system. So when you came into God, you were supposed to be a people that are able, you are like the Israelites. The Israeli man can walk on watermelon, and he knows what to do to watermelon. He will be bigger than a man of 20 years may be struggling to carry one watermelon. There is an intelligence for entrepreneurship that runs in their bloodline. So the Israeli man doesn't need you. All he needs is God. So when the devil knows that he cannot corrupt the East with invading forces, he now went the way of lust. You will hardly find a man from the East that is not struggling with the pride of life, or the lust of the flesh, or the lust of the eyes. So the subject of death must be taught again and again. There are five things you die to kill flesh. Let me list that before I begin to tell you how to die to flesh. You see, flesh is strong. And the only way flesh dies is when the Holy Ghost is poured upon flesh. The application of the cross to flesh is immersion in the Holy Ghost. It is the Spirit that kills flesh. And when the Holy Ghost is being poured on flesh, what happens is that it begins to starve it. Because you must kill it from within. Have you been to your room to pray before? And you lock the door, you say, I will pray. And then after 30 minutes, it looks as if it's 3 hours. And then it's not like you have any appointment. You just stand up from where you are praying. You go to the kitchen, you go and open the pot. You look at the cover of the pot and you cover it back. And you go back to pray. And then you carry your phone that was on flight mode. You remove the flight mode. You now go on Facebook. You see 30 likes. You smile. You now put it on flight mode and off it. And then some of you will just go to the window and open the window and see outside like this. You know, you have never seen the sun, so you want to see the shade. What is happening is that flesh is fighting. You are trying to suffocate flesh, but it's fighting. But God wants to drown it. You know, the Bible said in Genesis chapter 6, he said, God drowned all flesh. And the way God did it is that he opened the fountains of the deep and he opened the gates of heaven. So the Holy Ghost will be poured on you, and the Spirit from within you will also be let loose. So a pond comes, flesh starves and is drowned. So that thing that is happening to you is flesh trying to breathe. You are submerging it in the waters of the Spirit, but it's trying to breathe. It's trying to breathe. So you went, you opened the window, you see outside. Or you came, you now caught by her. You say, how far? Waiting to happen. Or you see what happened yesterday, say, yes, okay, I won't tell you. And then you off your phone. You go back, shakaba, 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 shakaba. You don't know how to kill flesh. You starve it. He said, and Samuel slew. He said he hewed Agag into pieces in the presence of the Lord. It's in the presence of the Lord that flesh dies. Meanwhile, there are some of us that pamper flesh, like Saul. When God said, destroy the Amalekites utterly, he killed them. He now collected their goats, collected their rams. And when the priest came, he said, what is that that I hear? Is that not the bleating of the goat? And Samuel said, well, I collected the spoils for the people. And he now saw Agag. And then the man began to suggest. You know, flesh is intelligent. It begins to suggest. And Samuel collected the knife. He said, the same way you made many mothers to become without children, that's the same way you too, your mother, will be without children. And he hacked him. And he said he healed Hagar in the presence of the Lord. Flesh dies in the presence. So when you are there and that thing begins to push you, know that it's now you are beginning to pray. See, that time you are praying and it looks as if stand up, go outside small and rest. That's when you started praying. The first time where you were displaying vocabulary, you can come and say, oh, great one, the immortal, the invincible, the one that dwells in the midst of the coals of fire, that tabernacles in the belly of light. Well, that time is your skill. When the thing begins to enter, Then flesh begins to struggle. He wants ventilation. That time you have started praying. That's when the real matters of your life, you are beginning to touch them. And if that flesh doesn't die, you can be an apostle. But in the secret place, you can be a fornicator. You can be a prophet. But in the secret place, you are a masturbator. The reason why we can no longer give ladies to men to disciple is because the product is not the life of God, it's pregnancy and abortion. You know, those days, when you give the young virgins to the ministers of God, what comes out of them are dimensions of the spirit. So the lady came to church. After 3 months, she began to prophesy. The reason is because the person you put him under taught her the way of prayer. So Rebekahs, Deborahs, Esthers were raised. But now, if you hand the maidens to the brothers, they will go back and they will become daughters of Jezebel. Because they will teach them how to live in sin and to keep their conscience calm. They will teach them how to kill and deaden their conscience. So the brother is touching her and tells her, you know, this thing is much more. We are growing, we are growing. The man is a man of the flesh. When he comes to fellowship, he shouts so that he will silence the voice of the Holy Ghost. It's a lie. Let me show you the 5 things that happens to flesh and flesh dies. Then I will teach you how to kill flesh by walking in the spirit. If you want to check whether your flesh is dying, these are the 3 parameters, 5 parameters. The first one is called pride. One of the channels and the tributaries through which flesh is strengthened is pride. Meanwhile, pride is different from pride of life. Pride is high-mindedness. It is you estimating yourself beyond what God says you are. It is you trying to prove a point in order to add a sense of value to yourself before the people. Pride of life is when your confidence anchors on things. Are you seeing the difference? When your confidence is on things, what you have, it's called pride of life. So a brother can bring his father's car. And then, because sport is going on, he will drive very fast and turn for dust. He creates dust so that people will turn. And then that's when he comes down from the car. And then he walks down. He's talking on phone. Nobody knows. It's a lie. That is an act. When God wants to deal with flesh, one of the channels he deals with is the channel of pride. And Jesus, you know, Jesus had no sin. He was a perfect man. But some of the things God did to Jesus was to reveal to us the channel, the pattern of God. Jesus' life is not only lived to save us. Jesus' life is also a revelation of how life should be lived. Because God knew that when we get born again and we become new creations, when we become like Jesus on the new birth, we will need to know how to walk in the spirit and kill and deaden the tendencies and the propensities of flesh. So he subjected Jesus to a channel that will reveal to us the order that we must live our lives. So most of the things Jesus did was for us. So the Bible said in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2, he called Jesus the author and the finisher of our faith. So everything Jesus went through is a revelation of the life that the believer, the new creation, will go through. Because Jesus was not in sin while he was living like that. He was a perfect man. The Bible said in him is no guile. He said he was without sin. Why then did he live that life? So that when you get born again, you will know how to pattern your life. So the Bible said in Luke chapter 2 verse 40 and 52 that the child Jesus grew. He grew in wisdom, in favor, and in stature before God and before man. And when Jesus was come of age, he began to show us the life in the spirit. And the first order that Jesus revealed was the pathway of death. Matthew chapter 3 verse 15, he came to John's baptismal service. John had announced that the prophet, the Messiah that was prophesied, is coming into the world. And here comes the Messiah. John had announced that I am not qualified to untie the latchet of his sandal. So naturally, Jesus will come and cross his legs so that he will be worshipped the way we do. But when Jesus showed up, Jesus went and knelt down in the Jordan to be baptized. And John quickly said, you know, John has a loud voice. His volume is tuned to always be loud. When John speaks, it's like this speaker. So he doesn't know how to. If John wants to whisper something in your ear, you hear, Ivani, Ivani. So John said, no, I should be baptized of you. Now he was trying to tell Jesus quietly, but everybody was hearing. I should be baptized of you. You know, you are the Messiah. And Jesus said, suffer it to be so for now. You know, when pride begins to rule over you, there will be no restraint. You will finish doing what you are doing, then you go back and cry. Because it's a force that the flesh anchors on. But Jesus had died to pride. So he had restraint over pride. He said, suffer it to be so for now. Thus, it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. I am now under a new law, the law of life. That's what powers me now. Pride is an offshoot of the law of death. But because I have died to it, it can't rule over me. So suffer it to be so for now. The time of my glory is not among men. My glory is an exaltation service that will be carried out in heaven. And in Acts chapter 2 verse 36, Peter said, this same Jesus that you crucified is today exalted as Lord and Christ. But you see, when pride comes, what it does is that it robs you of your glory in the spirit. This is why you perceive you are a prophet. And the devil also knows. So he comes ahead in pride. If Jesus had taken that glory in the baptismal service, he would have lost the glory of the coronation in heaven. So he said, suffer it to be so for now. There is a plan for me to be exalted, but it's in the spirit. It's not on earth. It's in the spirit. That thing you are trying to do in your fellowship where you are 11, God designed for you to do it in the stadium. But you see, pride came. So when there are 25 people, you come, you pocket your hand like this. You say, oh no, forget. You know, we know these things, we walk in it. And then you are displaying for 25 people. Meanwhile, there is a Benihim that stands before 2 million people. And you didn't know that in the spirit, you are in the lineage of Benihim. You didn't know that the glory that God designed for you was in a stadium. And even beyond the stadium, it's among the immortals. So that when you finish and you are walking back to eternity, the angels of glory will sing hallelujah, hallelujah. And Jesus himself will stand up and say, well done, thou faithful servant. But you receive all your well done on earth. Because the devil knows that your walk in the spirit will be truncated by the gate of pride. Jesus says, suffer it to be so for now. Thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. Where have you truncated your glory? That's the first question for this morning. Who knows whether you are supposed to be a governor in your state and bring back righteousness, but in the SUG election, you were given bribe and you had done everything in SUG. Imagine, on campus here, what can you gain? SUG doesn't even have a car. Maybe the SUG president drives in the SUG bus. So you trade governorship for SUG because of pride. Suffer it to be so for now. The journey into the spirit is a journey of death. The moment Jesus did that, the Father could not hold himself. He turned that from heaven. He said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Have you gone to pray before and God told you I'm pleased? You will never hear it until you die to pride. You know, God doesn't talk much. Every time he talks, something provokes it. You know why? If God speaks, something is created. So he's careful to talk. Anytime God speaks, the energy level where he speaks from, he speaks creation. So he's careful not to talk. When he said, "This is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased," the witness spread into all the universe. The witness spread into time. That means those who live in the past and those who will live in the future, Jesus has become the Son of God. So even the Elijahs and the Moses that were trying diligently to find, even the angels, for the first time, they saw the Son. Because while he was in heaven as the world, they couldn't see him. The unity of the divine, the Godhead, sits in light that is unapproachable. So the first time the angels saw a God, the first time everything that ever lived saw God, was when God said, "This is my beloved son." So what happens is that the whole light of heaven, the light of influence and glory, came upon him instantly. This is why the devil began to come immediately. Oh, so he's the one. You know, the devil was sampling everybody. He checked Moses, he checked Samson, he checked Elijah. He was trying to find out who is this Son of God that is coming. For the first time, because Jesus died to pride, God thundered from heaven. That was when the devil saw the Son of God for the first time. That was when the angel saw God for the first time. Because all they saw was a light that was unapproachable. You can't see him. But you see the key. The key is not 40 days prayer. The key is what? Death to pride. You want people to know you are a man of God. It's not big boy that makes it happen. I've never addressed myself as apostle. It's a waste of time. My Facebook page is Oroko Michael. If you call me, I learned it from Apostle Aaron. If you call me, I'll say I'm Oroko Michael. It's people that looked at me and said, "Kai, this guy, this is an apostle." You know why? It's a spirit that defines your essence. And when a spirit defines you, even a blind man will come and say, "Thou son of David, have mercy." You didn't hear that, right? If a spirit defines you, even a blind man will say what? "Thou son of David, have mercy." That means even the blind will know. You don't need a large billboard to be addressed as a prophet. Because when the spirit defines you, he gives you credentials. Elohim Adonai. The moment he died to pride and it was revealed. Meanwhile, it's important for you to know that it was not at the baptismal service he died to pride. The baptismal service was only an opportunity to manifest that layer of death. You can't die when the action is taking place. You die in the presence. And that's where I'm coming to. The devil showed up. And when Jesus knew, because Jesus was already walking with the Holy Ghost, so the Holy Ghost whispered to him. He said, "Now you are going to the wilderness." And the reason you are going to the wilderness is because the devil is coming to tempt you. Because in the organogram of heaven, now we need to check whether there is lust. You know, the reason you are taking all our words is because you don't have a relationship with the Spirit. Jesus said, "I will not leave you as orphans. I will send the Allos Paraclete." So when the Holy Ghost comes, he becomes your expo. So the Bible said in Matthew 4 verse 1 that the Holy Ghost was taking him to the wilderness to be tempted. That means Jesus was aware, because he had a vital connection with the Holy Ghost. So the Holy Ghost whispered to him, "The next place we are going now is not pride. Now you have passed the test of pride. The next test is the test of lust." Meanwhile, you were going to the brother's house as a preacher. You didn't know that journey, your steps were being ordered, because God wanted to promote you. So he carried you to the brother's house. Every sister that brother relates with, he has slept with them. Now God wanted to prove to that brother that, have you seen my servant Job? So there was an argument in heaven, and God said, Onyinye will not fall. So that time we were going to that brother's house, it was a stadium. The spirit of just men made perfect were watching. God was watching. Demons were watching. The elders were watching. The angels were watching. And then you were going to the brother's house. You now closed the door. You thought you were hiding. In the spirit realm, you are standing naked in a stadium. Because God was testing lust. You are the only one that would have proven to that brother that ladies in Owerri are not sluts. And that female preachers are righteous. So your visit to that brother that day was a statement and a testament in heaven. But you didn't know. The reason is because you don't walk with the Holy Ghost. If you walk with the Holy Ghost would have told you that next week God will lead you to Ifeanyi. Ifeanyi has slept with 30 ladies and all of them are in the choir. You are the only person in the choir that Ifeanyi have not slept with. So God wants to take you there to challenge Ifeanyi and let him know that there are righteous people in church. But you didn't hear. Jesus heard. Do you know why Jesus went 40 days before the devil came? He has a leakage. There was a leakage from the Holy Ghost. So he went and prayed and fasted for 40 days. When the devil came, he was late. That time, he was empty of lust and stuck with life. So the devil showed up. He has thrown down every human being before now. Even Adam, which was the first man. Aye, come on, who are you? He didn't know that this Adam is a life-giving spirit. If you are the Son of God, turn these stones to become bread. Matthew chapter 4 verse 3. I can imagine what Jesus did. You know what Jesus would do? He just allowed the devil to show yourself. And Jesus would be strolling like this. You know, Matthew summarized it. But Jesus was actually quoting a scripture from Deuteronomy. He said, did you not read that he suffered them to hunger so that they might know? Because the Bible said he fasted for 40 days and for 40 nights. And afterwards he was unhungered. So the devil came when he was hungry. So Jesus was quoting a scripture and showing him why did God taught the Israelite the way of hunger. Because God doesn't just do anything for doing sake. And he quoted, he said, he suffered them to hunger that they might know that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. At this point now, Jesus was talking what the Holy Ghost was talking. And the devil took backward and said, who is this? You know what that is? That's the test for the pride of life. What can you do? Meanwhile, you came for a service and then you were flowing with God while you were teaching. But after a while, there is pressure. God, I have not said anything. So you are under pressure. You now began to do what the Holy Ghost is not doing. I have traveled for meetings several times. When I finished teaching, God was not moving. I said, thank you, sir. I gave them the mic. So they refused to give me honorarium. Because they heard that I'm an apostle of fire. But that day I came, heaven was not releasing fire. And then my host wanted me to shake myself so that fire will come. I now saw that Jesus doesn't prove himself to men. Do you know how God answered the devil? The question of if you are the Son of God. You don't prove that you are the Son of God by turning stones to bread. Everything the devil wants to force you to do, God has already designed how it should be done. In Romans chapter 1 verse 3, he said he was declared to be the seed of David by the flesh and by the spirit of holiness through the resurrection of the dead. So the way God answered the devil that Jesus is the Son of God is that he rose him from the dead. So Jesus went to Hades and defeated every creature that is in the demonic ranking. When the Bible said he spoiled principalities and powers, is a term that is used in Roman warfare. When you defeat your opponent and your opponent surrender, they do a ceremony. The king will sit down. And then the opponent will come naked, with his shield and his sword. And then he will come and submit it before the king and he will bow down. That's when he said he spoiled principalities and powers. So he defeated the devil until the devil surrendered. And every power that the devil collected from Adam, he handed it over. That's why when he resurrected, he said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Meanwhile, that was what the devil wanted Jesus to prove by turning stones to bread. Do you see how mundane your actions are? Say, come on, if you don't tell her, they will not know that you are a former. You have just robbed yourself of glory. The devil now took him to the pinnacle of the temple and say, if you are the Son of God, why do I need to prove myself? Okay. He said, jump down. Since you are quoting scripture, me too, I will quote scripture. And he quoted from Psalm 91. Jump down, for God will give his angels charge over thee, lest you strike your step at your feet against the stone. He didn't know who he was talking to. It is written, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. I am not only the Son of God, I am your God. You don't tempt a God. See, this thing you are doing now, when I was in eternity past, I watched it in the screen. It's not happening to me. I have watched it before the foundation of the world. You know, there are two expressions of God. God is the imminent one and is the transcendent one. When you say God is imminent, it means God is in every time and in every atom. Everything that exists at every level, at every energy level, at every size, at every speed or operation, God is there. And when you say God is transcendent, it means it goes beyond eternity. I have viewed and watched all of these things in the theater of heaven. I know you will come. So I defeated you before you came. Thou shalt not tempt. That's why you can't tempt God. See, when you were thinking what you would think, he was there. Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. And then the last time, the devil now took him to the pinnacle, the highest mountain, and showed him the glory of the world and said, bow to me and I will give you all of this. He didn't know that that authority he was wielding was Adamic authority. And Jesus knew that if I collect that authority here, it will not be a gospel. I will go and collect that authority from here so that every demon in the whole realm will see. Only God should be worshipped. Fire, get out. So he died to the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. Now, this is flesh God is still dealing with. When God dealt with pride, he was killing flesh. Now, God is dealing with lust. What is he doing? He's killing flesh. Do you see why walking in the spirit is not a gift? Some people will take a lifetime, they will not reach here. When we tell people to wait upon the Lord, they don't know why. The reason is because you can never please an immortal spirit by flesh. So when we lock up ourselves for days, it's because we are killing something on our inside in the presence. He said in Psalm 51 verse 7, I guess. He said, the sacrifices of a contrite heart and a broken spirit the Lord cannot despise. That means this oracle, this deity that cannot be approached, the only way you can stand before him is when you come to a point where you are broken. This is why the 24 elders, all they do in the civilization of heaven is to fall flat before him. That's the only way you can approach this deity that dwells in the midst of the coals of fire. He says sacrifices, there are many. I'm not talking about doing something to invalidate what Jesus did on the cross. No, I am telling you what you must do for your soul to be able to express everything Jesus has become. That's why the Jesus that was doing all of this thing was without sin. He is the firstborn from the dead. This is how you walk into God. You walk into Him. And a point comes where if you stand, God stands. If you walk, God walks. If you sit, God sits. You know why? Flesh is spiritual paralysis. And when you keep flesh, God can express Himself through you. I read about Reinhard Bonnke who went to a store to buy something and the buyer began to cry. Say, why? Now, Reinhard Bonnke didn't ask the buyer. He asked God. You know why? God was closer to him than the person in front of him. Meanwhile, you need 7 days before you hear God. Some people, when they are strolling like this and they are talking, you think they are mad. No, they are gisting with the Holy Ghost. They gist, they will laugh. When you enter their room, then they say, you know, they live in the spirit. In John chapter 3, verse 13, Jesus said, the Son of Man which is in heaven. So the best moment of Jesus' life is when he's alone. So Jesus sometimes runs from a crusade, and the Bible will say he entered into the mountain. Do you enter into mountain or you climb mountain? You know what he's telling you? That means what you call a mountain is a spirit. He enters into the spirit realm. So when he's alone, he's in heaven. You are the only person seeing. We are mundane. We are sensual. We are locked. We are ruled by this world. If we know the pleasures of the spirit, he said, in thy presence are pleasures forevermore. If you see an angel, the wow, you will be, for your life, every day to be like yesterday. Nothing in this visible world compares to anything in the spirit realm, in the realm of God. Death to lust. I'm showing you these things to prove to you that what we are doing is religion. That's why I'm showing you what I'm showing you. And you notice that all of these things were happening to him when he's alone. You begin to walk in the spirit where you master the art of death. If you check, go and settle down for 3 days and say, wait, let me check my life. See the forces that rule over you. You'll be amazed that the moment while you are dreaming, they are there with you. The moment you wake up, the ones that are waiting by your bedside begins to walk. Sometimes you wake up with a thought of what you want to do to impress somebody. And then you will continue like that till when you are sleeping. As you are going to sleep, you are dozing off with it. See, those things don't give you break. I was telling somebody, if you see the way demons walk on people, you'll be amazed. Those thoughts that keep running through your head, they are not thoughts, they are whispers. This brother will sit like this, and you think he's in the spirit. You don't know what's happening, he said. A demon can perch here and say, call her now, call her, call her. If the guy doesn't want to respond, then the demon begins to do like this. Call her now, call her. And then the demon begins to touch his emotions. So the guys begin to see pictures of the things that can happen. Of the thing. Then he carries his phone, he calls her. The more you are drawing closer, the more the thing is. You don't know that these demons on assignment. When God wants to help you, he now keeps lost. This time, you may not be seeing a vision yet, but what you don't know is that you have traveled very deep in the spirit. You have killed pride. You have killed lust. You have traveled far in the spirit. Some of the ranking men in this world, they don't see visions, but their life is a portrait of God. We are religious men. Check your activities in the next 3 days. You'll be shocked that it's either motivated by pride or lust. And I'm not saying religious activity. Everything you do, including the clothes you wear, you will be shocked. The hairstyle, the clothes, where you go, what you say, check. Just examine yourself. You will see how fallen you are. you will discover that this Bible you are reading, you have not entered into it. You will be amazed that 99% of all you do is either motivated by pride or lust. That's when you will know that walking in the Spirit is not, you must be helped. Paul tried it as a scholar. He now came to a point, he said, Kai, this thing is not possible. So he now handed his life to God. He said, the life I live now, Galatians 2:20, is not I. Because every day I attempt to live, I live as a fallen man. So I allow God live through me. And in Philippians 3:3, he says, we are the circumcision that worships God in the Spirit, rejoicing in Christ Jesus, having no confidence in the flesh. I've read a lot of books, but before I come to preach, I need to pray for hours for God to help me. Because if you are not helped, you are an orator. I'm showing you these things. They look simple. But like I've said, go and examine your life for 3 days. You will see that there are plethoras of energies and powers that push you. You will be amazed that everything you do, you are just being pushed around. Including the people you visit, the things you say, the dress you wear. You are just being pushed. You will just realize that you are a puppet. You will see the futility of religion. You will now shut down and find God. The third thing Jesus died to was debt. Debt to influence. Influence is a weapon in this kingdom. The devil knows. This is why when men become influential, they become relevant. Because they know that they command the allegiance of other people. So if you get one influential man, you get a territory, you get a people, you get a tribe. This is why if the sons of the bondwoman want to negotiate in this land, they will negotiate with your governor. All of you are citizens, but your governor has influence. And your governor can decide to install an emir here. There is nothing you can do about it in the flesh. You can say, all of us are from Oweri. We refuse. It will not happen. When you finish doing that thing, you go back and eat food because hunger. You will realize that you are dissipating energy. You have the citizenship right, but you don't have influence. So influence is a weapon. But in order not to be corrupt by the desires of influence, that's why you see all of these men are corrupt. In order not to be corrupt by the desires of influence, you must allow God put influence in your life. So Jesus showed us that in order to be accurate with God in power, it must be God who gave you that power. So he follows the calendar of the Spirit. In John 12:31, his influence, his fame was spreading abroad. So the Greeks came to him and they wanted to bring him to their coast. And when Jesus checked with the Holy Ghost, what was in his calendar now was not international relevance. He now said, except the corn of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it abides alone. So when I check heaven, the way I will go to other nations is the people that will believe in me that will go to those nations. So for me, I will have to die. That was when the kind of death he must die was revealed to him. While he was living, he didn't know. The Holy Ghost was carrying him. That was when he knew that his death must be by the cross. And he said, now is the judgment of this world. Now is not international ministry. Now is the judgment of this world. Now is the prince of the cosmos cast out. And I, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men to myself. So the people that will go to the Greek are the men that will come from my death. That's where Paul was born from. So Paul came from that ceremony. You saw Paul when he manifested, but Jesus saw Paul when he said, I will draw all men. So it is Paul that will go to the Greek. It is Paul that will go to the Gentile, not me. Meanwhile, we are pursuing influence. It must be. They say, here you are. But if you are selfish with influence. You want everything in the fellowship. They say 4 days crusade, only you want to sing for the 4 days because you think it's a show. So you wear your high heel, you stand like this, you make your Brazilian hair. So while you are singing, you do like this, and then you think she's praising God. It's showbiz. All the steps she's taking, she has practiced it in the mirror. That's why we don't have the powers to challenge the God of this world. Now is the judgment of this world. So when you do that, then God, see, the Father can't hold himself. You know why? When you see an immortal man behaving like an immortal spirit, he pleases his heart. And again, he thundered. Said, "This is my beloved son." The people said, "Oh, it's a thunder." The people said, "Oh, an angel has spoken to him." Jesus was shocked. You didn't hear what the Father said? He said, "This voice that came was for you." Meanwhile, you are on the altar praying. When God says, "Stop, stop, stop, keep quiet, keep quiet," that's when you are prophesying. Because you see the power of God is moving and you must make a statement. Meanwhile, that time God said, "Keep quiet, keep quiet." That's the time an archangel was released. Because the prince in the territory, at that point now, the warfare have left the auditorium. The warfare is now in the heavenlies. So God wanted you to be quiet so that the angels can fight. But you are on earth, you are prophesying. You are doing like this. You remove your suit, you do like this. So you now, you that stage the program, you are now the reason why the city cannot be delivered. So the angel can come to earth and go back. You know, Daniel fasted and prayed for 21 days. When the quota of his prayer was filled, the battle left him to the angelic. So Michael showed up. You don't know what it takes to mobilize Michael. I don't have time to talk to you about the angelic ranking. You don't know what it takes. The angelic realm. A cherub can hold the sun like this and squeeze it. A cherub. He can hold the sun and squeeze it. There are certain angels that if they stand on earth, they are tall into the heavens. Michael showed up in a meeting and God said, "Keep quiet, keep quiet, keep quiet." But you can't, because this is your opportunity. If this video go online, there will be 200,000 views. Meanwhile, the reason God put that meeting together was to disarm the prince in the territory. But you want to make a statement because your lust for influence is too strong. Jesus said, "Suffer it to be so for now." And then now Jesus is saying, "Except the corn of wheat falls to the ground and dies." Kenneth Hagin did not travel out of US. He only went to Canada. All he did in his lifetime were tent meeting. Meanwhile, he was contemporary of Oral Roberts and T.L. Osborne. Oral Roberts and T.L. Osborne were packing out stadia. Kenneth Hagin was doing his tent meeting and discipling people and writing books. The books he wrote went to all the shores of this world. There's no pastor in this world today doing something significant that have not read Kenneth Hagin's book. What if he wanted to go and say, "Me too, I will do stadium meeting," because he also had the miraculous. The dimension of healing he walked in was strange, and he was a prophet. But he knew the powers of dying to influence. So while he was writing his books, they didn't manifest in his lifetime. After he went to be with the Lord, they were shipping his books to nations. Institutions, companies were paying for his books to be shipped to nations. Watchman Nee stayed in Fuzhou, China. He was not even preaching his messages for recording purpose. He was just building people. It was the notes they took in his meetings that has discipled the world today. The notes. The way I'm teaching now, the things you are writing, all the Watchman Nee books you see is note from his teaching. But the depth of what God has done in his soul, if you read his book, your soul will be transformed. He didn't even know the book will go around. He didn't know his name will be known. Because this man, when they die to influence, all they focus on is relevance in eternity. What will I do so that when I go to heaven, God will call me faithful servant? And many years after their departure, their dynasties were forever. Meanwhile, we are struggling for your tiny life. If you live old, 100 and something years, if you put that in eternity, it will vanish. And then you are struggling for people to think you are somebody in your tiny life. We have appetite for influence. That's why we struggle so much. You see, when you die, then God begins to spread you. That means the secret of spreading is in death. You see, except the corn of wheat falls to the ground and die, he abides alone. When you begin to die, then God spreads you. Suddenly, God begins to use you to raise a tribe. All of a sudden, you have 10,000 people calling you that they want to be your sons. Any city you go to, if they hear you are coming, somebody is paying for flight, somebody is paying for hotel bill. These were things you wanted to. There are people that go for meetings. They give them. They ship it to meet them 2 months later. The gift. The guy came to a country for a meeting. He's going back. They are shipping 10 cars. Thank you, sir. Thank you, sir. But he didn't pursue that. He died. Every time you look inward, you become tiny. This is why we look upon the hills of God, from whence cometh our help. Our help comes from the Lord. He said they looked upon him and they were radiant. They were not ashamed. I'm showing you things that happen within you. I can begin to talk things that will stir you. I couldn't even preach yesterday. But you will see these things so you can see the finger of the devil in your life. And every time he comes, you caught it. If pride is coming, you know it's one of the horns of the devil. Lust is coming, you know it's one of the horns. And when you want to rise by force, know it's the devil. Say, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God so that in due time he will exalt you. This is the pathway that Jesus was revealing to us. Do you know why many become governors and they can't handle the demons that operate on that throne? They didn't go the way of God. So some became governor and they lose their salvation. They will never make it in eternity because they are the reason why the land became dark. Some become governors and they sell the destiny and the heritage of their state because of momentary influence. And you will think you will do better. The only proof that you will do better is if today you die to influence. If you have not died to it, tomorrow if you become a governor, you'll be worse. These people who are on the seat today, if you know how they criticize their predecessors, you will think they are the hope of the nation. Debt to influence. And the fourth is debt to your will. This one is the hardest one. You can't do what you want to do. You have perfected your plans. But he said the horse is ready for the day of battle, but victory is in the hands of the Lord. So because you know that your victory is in the hand of the Lord, every time God show up, you surrender. Death to will is a language of surrender. But many of us have never reached there. I'm not showing you these things because I am perfect in it. I am learning it, and every day I cry before the Lord to help. Because if I look at myself, it's quite ugly. So I go to the mirror of the perfect law of liberty. And when I see what I ought to be, I fall on my knees. I say, Father, help me. Help me. In Matthew chapter 26, verse 39, Jesus had died to pride. He had died to the lust of this life. He had died to influence, but he showed up in Gethsemane. That's where the will of God was resonating, and it was like an axe on his head. He tried. He now said, "Father, if it were possible, let this cup pass me by. I know me and you discussed this thing in eternity past, before the foundations of the world. We concluded it, we shared this responsibility, and I accepted this thing. But sir, if it's possible, let's look for another strategy." And the father said, "No, you know that the only strategy is for you to die." He came out. He told the disciples, he said, pray, so that you don't fall into temptation. Pray. See, that was when Jesus taught us the secret of living above temptation. The key to live above temptation is prayer. It's not strategy. It's not reasoning. It's not plan. You can plan and say, you and that brother, you will not call yourself again. Or if you call yourself, you will not call yourself baby. Or you will not talk about love. When flesh is alive, what you will do is that you will incubate that energy, and the next time it explodes, you will see yourself on the bed. You will come out crying in shame. Jesus taught us that the secret to live above temptation is prayer, and much prayer. So he went, he came back and prayed. He went, he came back and prayed. He went. When he won in prayer, he now came and said, "Come, let's go." When the people came, he said, "Whom seek ye?" They said, "Jesus Christ of Nazareth." "I am he." You know why? He had won on his knee. So nothing that happened in time can move him. Meanwhile, you are struggling with masturbation. You have not won on your knee. You are struggling with immorality. You have not won on your knee. You now come back to your head and you are planning. When you win here, then you win everywhere. The people went back and fell. They got up. "Whom seek ye?" "Jesus of Nazareth." "I told you already. I am." See, that time when he speaks, his voice began to thunder like an immortal spirit. When they got up, Peter now went back to flesh and carried one knife and cut a servant's ear. He's not even a soldier. If you want to cut somebody's ear, is it a servant's ear you will cut? You see how weak flesh is. And Jesus said, "Put your sword back." He said, "They that live by the sword shall die by the sword." That time, it's not a man talking again. The person talking is speaking from the cloud of glory. He has gone high. Every time you submit your flesh, you flow in the spirit. He said, "Does it not occur to you that if I desired, I will pray the Father and he will send 12 legions of angels? What can you do with one knife?" He now turned and looked at the people. He said, "The night is your hour. Go ahead and do your work." That means they could not arrest him, because the energy he was coming from prayer, if he told them to remain on the floor, they will lie down there forever. "I am he." They went back and fell. That's why he said, "This commandment have I learnt of my Father. I can lay down my life and take it up." So they didn't kill him. He laid down his life. He said, "Go ahead and do what you want." And they now heard him. They now, "He said, I was in the temple with you. You didn't do anything. Why do you now come with clubs and with arrows to arrest me like a criminal? The night is your hour." When you submit your will to God, you will now learn that prayer is the only way. The reason you can't pray now is because you are still working with your will. Yes. You say, "When I graduate, God will give me a good job. After my service, I'm going to the favor market." Meanwhile, before you go to your so-called favor market, you have contacted 5 of your uncles. And then you are coming to tell God, "Lord, I'm depending on you." The angels will look at you like this. Every day we act, they see the impact of the fall. Are you aware that God was in you? Is it not you now that have finished your plan? You now came to God and said, "Lord, whatever you want." The angel that is walking with you will jump back. And then the guy who is an apostle will now go to service. And the next thing you see him in Mami Market. Because he went to a territory where his strength cannot handle the energy. He didn't know that where God wanted to lead him for his service is still an environment for training. God wanted to send him to maybe Benue or Maiduguri or Kebbi. But he walked his way to Warri and Lagos and Abuja. Meanwhile, there is a territorial demon in Abuja that his soul cannot handle. So he now walks his way to Lagos. And then an apostle goes to Lagos and returns a fornicator. Because he didn't know that the manipulations in the realm, they have seen your star. So what you have done is that you have increased your wilderness journey. Because God was intending that when you come out of service, he will begin to establish you. But the little energy you gathered was depleted on the campground. So you need another 5 years to come back to where you are. So what service did for you is that service took you 5 years backward. Meanwhile, you called it promotion because you went to Lagos. But you went what? 5 years backward. There was a brother that managed his way until he started working with Chevron. The guy would go and do holiday in Dubai. He doesn't touch any lady unless you don't have any injury or any scar. You must be blemished, without blemish. And then you are not just fair. You will be fair that it's as if you glitters. So one of the tests is that if you sweat from your hair, it will run down. It will not stop anywhere. See the way sweat is hanging on my face because it's rough. It won't be like that. Sweat will run. When you pass that test, you are the type of lady he carries to Dubai. Because on a weekly basis, he earns in 6 digits. Until God encountered him. That was when he discovered he was a prophet. You know what happened to him? He walked his way through NYC and he entered the oil company. He didn't have energy for the oil company. So 10 years later, when you talk about prayer, it looks like, how do people pray? He has forgotten how to pray. So in the equation of eternity, 10 years of life was removed from his lifespan. Before that guy can be as relevant as he ought to be in eternity, there must be a special working of grace in his life. Because everything you are designed to be in eternity was calculated into your lifespan. So every time you delve out of God, it's just like driving with a navigator. The navigator will show you the route to follow. If you choose another route, the navigator will reroute. But when he reroutes, you will need 10 extra minutes to complete your journey. But eternity does not give that allowance. So what will happen is that you will lose that portion of your life. You know what happened with Jonah? Jonah and John are the greatest revivalists in Bible history. They didn't need to do miracles. But when they scream, their voice will enter the heart of the city. And everybody that hears them repents. Jonah was to travel 3 days to Nineveh. He journeyed for 1 day. When he cried, the vibrations from his voice entered the heart of the king, and the king tore his garment off his throne. He won a city in 1 day. But that was a man who was running from God because his will has not been submitted to the will of God. You don't know what you do to yourself when you live for your own will. And the devil will come and incubate your flesh so much that you either give in to pride, or you give in to lust, or you give in to influence, or you give in to your will. But Jesus showed us that flesh dies when our life begins to show that these parameters are no longer existent. So the reason God brings circumstances is to check the extent to which flesh has been killed. And every time you go out and pride shows up, what you need to do is to run back to the presence. Because it's only in the presence that flesh dies. He said, and Samuel hewed Agag to pieces in the presence of the Lord. Every time lust shows up, shut down everything you are doing, run back and stay there until you are baptized in the presence. Every time quest for influence shows up, run back. And every time your will begin to rule you, run back. you will not know what you will lose. You can lose a lifetime. I tell you, a prophet can live all his life as a counselor, and he will think it's an achievement. And a governor can become a thief because he doesn't know what leadership is all about. The fifth thing that Jesus revealed to that we must die to is death to shame. You come to a point where when God gives you an instruction, it doesn't matter what people say. He said, for the joy that was set before him, Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2, he died. He despised the shame. This is not how you die to flesh, but these are the indicators that flesh have been killed in your life. I wanted to show you how to die to flesh, but you see, time is a body. That's when I would have worn my garment. What's the time? Hmm?
10:56. It's almost 11.
Elohim, Elohim Adonai. Can you check your life? I know you are a prophet. I know you are an apostle. I know you are a leader. Even the SUG president is here. I know. But check your life. Which of these horns have made you a slave? Is it pride? Is it lust? Is it influence? Is it your will? Is it your tendencies of not yielding to God because you are too conscious of shame? Just check yourself in 1 minute. If you don't have any of these things function in your life, God accept you. Me, I have not been so helped. I'm still trusting God for help. But if there is anybody here like me who is trusting God for help, check. I didn't come to display my knowledge of scripture. Just check your life. Which of these things? You know. Those, especially those, there are some of them you do in the hiding. There are some you do in the public. For lust, it is better managed in the secret place. You hide to do it. For pride, it is better managed in the public. But you know which one you are a slave of. Just check your life. That's when you will appreciate the need for walking in the spirit. You will not appreciate it, I tell you. You can go to God and after 30 minutes you run out because you don't know that your life is what the devil spends on. The reason God and demons fight over soul is because you don't spend time in this realm, you spend life. Time is only an instrument of measurement, but what you really spend is life. So when the devil takes hold of you, he's spending from the economy of your life. So you don't know how much you have lost. You will not have an idea. It's when you enter back into the eternities of God and they show you your life, then you now realize that, oh, I have wasted. The rich fool, when he entered eternity, quickly he said, please, let Abraham send Lazarus back into the world to warn his brothers. He said, no, you have Moses and the prophets. If you know, you will do everything possible to walk in the spirit so that you can begin to sense the ventilations of heaven. How does a man walk in the spirit? How does a man walk in the spirit? There are 7 ways of walking in the spirit. The first is by waiting upon the Lord. By waiting upon the Lord. In Isaiah chapter 40, verse 31. From verse 28, he said, have you not heard? Has it not been told to you that the everlasting God fainted not? Neither is he weary. He giveth power to the faint. Those are the ones that are powered by flesh. He said, them that have no spiritual mind, he increases strength. He said, but they that wait upon the Lord,
They shall mount up with wings like the eagles. They shall walk, they shall not be weary. They shall run, they shall not faint. The economy of mounting up is in waiting upon the Lord.
If you have not learned the way of waiting, you can't walk in the spirit.
Do you know what it means when he said mount up with wings? The word is called repentance. What it means is turning around from death to life. It's a migration from flesh to the spirit. It's an encounter with the Lord.
He said, and I, John,
I was in the Isle of Patmos for the testimony of the word and of the kingdom. I was in the spirit on the Lord's day, and I heard a sound like a trumpet. When a man begins to wait, then he begins to hear the trumpets of heaven. And when you hear it, there's a turnaround. He said, as I turned, I saw, and he saw the Alpha, the Omega. He entered into the circumference of life. Shatter, Barakia, Suva, Legoria, Fina, Tars, Sanicapones, Rakira, Paras. That's why in Hebrews chapter 6, verse 1, it says repentance from dead works is the first in the principles of Christ. When you wait upon the Lord, you hear a voice. That voice is what causes a migration from flesh to spirit. You see, many of you will begin to hear the voice, and there will be a turnaround from masturbation, a turnaround from immorality, a turnaround from fear. How do you walk in the spirit? How do you walk in the spirit? You hear a voice when you wait and you turn around. Repentance is migration from flesh to spirit. That voice is what provoked repentance. The second thing is called faith towards God. That word that comes to you, it creates something on your inside, and it opens you up to a dimension of God. It says faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. And the word of God is called the seed of God, and the seed of God is called sperma. It is from the word sperma that you have the word spermatozoa. So that word inseminates your spirit, and then it pulls you towards God, and then you begin to see a dimension. That dimension is what provokes hunger. How does a man walk in the spirit? It's by faith towards God. When you wait in the presence.
Oh!
man by grace in the spirit. The doctrine is called the doctrine of baptism. Baptism is not submersing you in water. Baptism means immersion in light continually. He said they were beaten, they were flogged, and then they went back to their own company. And as they prayed, the place where they were was shaken, and they were filled with the Holy Ghost afresh. When flesh wants to fight, then you need baptisms. It's like the waters of Exusia. You are at an ankle level, then you receive more. It comes to the knee, you receive more. It comes to the waist, you receive more. It comes to the neck. A point comes, you can swim. It's called baptism. Moses was baptized. A point came. Moses became a deity. The priest needed 8 months of preparation to enter the Holy of Holies. Moses enters there every day. You know why? Moses is a deity. He had incubated in the presence until a point came. As he came down, his face shone like the sun. Even when Paul was addressing Moses in 2 Corinthians 3:15, he said, when Moses is read, the man has become the embodiment of the law. Some of you are supposed to be embodiment of favor. Some of you are supposed to be embodiments of power. Some of you are supposed to be embodiments of glory. But you don't have baptism in the presence because you can't wait. You can't wait. If you wait like David, he was submerged. And the only cry David had is, take not thy spirit from within me. He was in the Old Testament, but he knew the technology of walking in the spirit. 400 battered men came to David. All David needed to do was to clothe them with the presence. He baptized them until a point came. His men became like gods. The Bible said daily men were added to David until his host became like the host of God, and all of them became warriors. The Bible spoke of Eleazar, the son of Dodo. The guy carried a spear and he slew 800 men. Why? The name Eleazar means a spear. David had proclaimed the guy, he had become one with his weapon. If you are baptized, you can become the signature of prophecy. You can become the signature of power. You can become the signature of favor, because deity will inseminate you, and in baptism you become like him. You want to pray in the Holy Ghost? Pray now. There's a baptism that is coming. There's a baptism. Plenty for the next 5 minutes. There's a cloud hanging in this place. Some of you are about to enter into baptism that will activate your calling. We are going to pray for 5 minutes. And if you are desperate tonight, the hand of God will come. Go ahead and pray in the Holy Ghost. You are mighty on you. You reign, you reign, you reign. Oh, fire like rain. Let your glory fall like fire, like rain. Let it fall like fire. Hey, the hand of God is coming. The glory is resting. The glory is resting. The glory is resting. Like fire. Only the keyboardist. Listen, the glory is about to descend like a canopy. For every hungry heart this morning, you want another layer of baptism that will activate your calling and your ordination. Holy Ghost, at the count of three, let the glory rest upon us. Holy Ghost, one. Holy Ghost, two. Holy Ghost, three. Move. Holy Ghost, touch. Bring them forward. Bring them forward. The hand of God is resting. The hand of God is resting. The hand of God is resting. Bring them forward. Help the brother. Help the brother. Help him. Something's going into him. Bring them forward. Hey, hey, hey. The glory descends. The glory descends. Saboratanosh. The glory descends. The glory. You want it? Take it, brother. Take it. Celebrate the part. The glory descends. Oh my God. Oh my God. Take it. The glory. The glory. Like fire, like fire, like glory, let your glory fall. Listen, listen, listen. We are out of time. There are two things. Lower the volume. I'm seeing a white sword in the spirit. God is recruiting warriors. Enter. I'm seeing a white sword in the spirit. A white sword. There are warriors about to be conscripted. Enter. 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 They are warriors. Holy Ghost. There are 30 warriors here. And as I speak, by the spirit, as I speak, let the hand of God come upon them. Let the hand of God come upon them. Holy Ghost, touch. 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 You reign. Warriors, arise. Mordecai, Deborah. Hey. Sobrata Favash. We chant in the Holy Ghost. Ah. Ah. We chant in the Holy Ghost. Ah. Ah. We chant in the Holy Ghost. Ah. Chanting the Holy Ghost. Oh. Oh. We chanting the Holy Ghost. Oh. Listen. Listen. There are most of you. Just bring them forward. Don't worry. So people don't fall on them. Bring them forward. I don't want people falling on them. Listen. There are most of you. You know the calling of God is upon your life. But you have missed it again and again. This morning, the Lord wants to restore.
You need to come to the altar and lie before the altar and hold the horns of the altar. Don't climb up. You need to hold the horns on the altar. Lie on the floor and cry. You need to cry. The Holy Ghost we chant in the Holy Ghost chant in the Holy Ghost You need to cry. You need to cry for your destiny. Cry for your destiny. Chant in the Holy Ghost. We chant in the Holy Ghost. Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You are doing now is called repentance from dead works. And most of you will hear a voice. You will hear a voice that will tell you what to do. And that voice will inseminate your spirit. And then you will enter into baptisms in the spirit.